Welcome to the fourth episode of Bitcoin Well Explains. We've just wrapped our series on what is money, covering the origins of money to the rise and fall of gold. Now we start the next three-part chapter in this saga, where we will explore why Bitcoin exists. Today we'll be covering the issues of fiat money, why every single fiat currency in history has failed, and showing you why something like Bitcoin had to be created to get us out of this mess. If you enjoy today's episode, definitely go back in your podcatcher of choice to hear the beginning, or follow us at Bitcoin Well on YouTube to see the video versions of this podcast. If you have any questions or feedback, I always answer my email at z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. Without any further ado, thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Most people think inflation is like the weather, something that just happens. At best, a natural phenomenon, and at worst, a necessary evil. A glitch in the system that we all have to deal with. What government doesn't want you to know is that in a fiat system, inflation is not a glitch. It's a primary feature. It's part of the design. It's intentional. And once you understand this, you can't unsee it. Let me remind you what fiat means. It's Latin for let it be done. Money by decree. Money because the government said so. And here's the key, fiat money has no cost to produce. You don't have to dig it out of the ground. You don't have to expend energy. You just create it with the stroke of a pen or with a keystroke on a computer. Imagine a ruler where the length of an inch shrinks every year. How could you build a house? How could you measure anything? How could you plan for the future? That's our economy today. It's not an accident, and it's not for our benefit. It's specifically designed to keep you enslaved. Remember gold? We talked about its stock-to-flow ratio. The fact that even if the price of gold doubles, miners can't just flood the market. Gold is hard to produce. It takes energy, it takes time, it takes work. That's what made it hard money. That's what protected your savings. Fiat is the opposite. You see, gold is one of the original proof-of-work tokens. To get gold, you have to do work. Real, physical, expensive work. Fiat is proof of stake. If you're the government, if you control the printing press, you just print. No work required. No energy expended, just numbers in a database. And they're very open about this. Central banks around the world target 2% inflation per year. They call it price stability. They call it healthy. But let's be clear about what that actually means. They are literally telling you that their goal is to steal 2% of your wealth every year. 2% doesn't sound like much, right? But compound it over time. Over a 40-year working lifetime, 2% annual inflation destroys 55% of your purchasing power. More than half gone. Not because you spent it, not because you made bad decisions, but because the money itself melted in your hands. And that's just the target inflation number. Real inflation is much, much higher. From 2014 to 2024, the US government didn't just increase the money supply by 33%, as the manipulated CPI numbers suggest, they increased it by over 80%. They nearly doubled the number of dollars in existence in just 10 years. This means if you kept $10,000 in cash, you didn't just lose a quarter of your purchasing power, you lost nearly half of it. If you were saving to buy a house or stocks or scarce assets, you aren't fighting 3% inflation. You're fighting a monetary flood that is drowning your savings. This has big consequences. When saving is punished, people stop saving. When debt is rewarded because you pay it back with cheaper dollars, people go into debt. the entire incentive structure flips. Remember low time preference? The ability to delay gratification, to think long term, to build for the future? Fiat money destroys that. It forces high time preference. Spend now because tomorrow your money is worthless. That's not a mistake or incompetent government officials. That's the design. But it gets worse because the inflation doesn't hit everyone equally. This is called the Cantillon effect, named after an 18th century economist who figured this out 300 years ago. It's crucial for understanding why Bitcoin matters. Here's how it works. When new money is printed, it doesn't appear in everyone's pockets instantly. It goes to the government first, then to big banks, then to corporations, then eventually it trickles down to wages and everyday people. But by the time it reaches you, prices have already gone up. So the first receivers, the insiders, the people closest to the money printer, they get to spend the new money before prices rise. They buy assets, real estate, stocks. They get wealthier through assets before real costs go up. The last receivers, the working class, people on fixed incomes, people who get paid in wages, by the time the money reaches them, inflation has already eaten away at its value. They're running just to stay in place. Fiat money mathematically widens the wealth gap. It is a transfer of wealth from the poor to the connected, from the workers to the insiders, from you to them. And again, this is not a glitch. This is how the system is designed to work. Now let's talk about control, because fiat money isn't just pieces of paper anymore. It's digital. It's entries in a database, and that means it can be controlled. It can be censored, and it can be turned off. This is what permissioned money means. You need permission to use it, and that permission can be revoked. We've seen this happen. In 2022, the Canadian government froze the bank accounts of truckers protesting vaccine mandates. Not just the protesters, but people who donated to them. No trial, no due process, just frozen. Governments use financial sanctions to cut entire nations off from the global economy. If you're on the wrong side of geopolitics, your money doesn't work. And now we're seeing the rollout of CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, programmable money, money that can have expiration dates, money that can be restricted to certain purchases, money that tracks every transaction you make. If your money can be turned off, it's not your money. It's a system of credit allowance. You have permission to use it until you don't. This is the end game of fiat. Total surveillance, total control. And as bad as this sounds, none of this is anything new. Just a brief look through history will show you the abysmal track record of fiat currencies. The average lifespan of fiat currencies is about 27 years. Most don't make it past a generation. Rome debased the denarius until the empire collapsed. Germany printed until a wheelbarrow of cash could buy a loaf of bread. Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Lebanon, Argentina, Turkey, the list goes on. Voltaire said it best, paper money eventually returns to its intrinsic value, zero. Every fiat currency in history has either collapsed or been replaced. Every single one. And right now, we're at the end of a long-term debt cycle. The system is wobbling. Governments are printing more than ever. Debt is at record highs. The cracks are showing. The question isn't if this ends badly, the question is when. So let's summarize. Fiat money is unlimited, inflationary by design, unfair, Cantillon effect, transfers wealth to insiders, and controlled, can be censored, frozen, and tracked. It punishes savers, it rewards debtors, it widens inequality, and it concentrates power in the hands of whoever controls the printer. So what do? We can't go back to gold. It's slow, too heavy, too impractical for a digital world. But we also can't stay on fiat. It's broken, it's failing, and it's only going to get worse. We need a third option. Something with the scarcity of gold and the speed of the internet. Something that no king, no president, no central bank can control. Something that is hard money, but digital. Well, there is a solution that exists today, but it didn't come out of nowhere. For 40 years, a group of rebel mathematicians, cryptographers, and privacy activists waged a quiet war against state surveillance and control. They were called the cypherpunks, and they spent decades trying to build the impossible digital money that couldn't be stopped, couldn't be censored, and couldn't be controlled by any government. Well, they failed again and again until one of them didn't. In the next video, we'll meet the cypherpunks, the digital ancestors of Bitcoin, and discover how their decades of failure finally led to the breakthrough that changed everything. See you then.